talking to and about a stone, naturally. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today, talking to and about a stone. How many people do you know who are so unusual and so bereft of friends that they have to talk to a stone, that they have to listen to a stone talking to them? How many people do you know like that? They just have so few friends, they just don't have anybody to talk to. They don't have anybody to share their life with. They don't have anyone to share their love with and share their happiness with and share their joy with. They just don't have anybody. Now, how many people do you know like that? Unfortunately, too many. Because most of the people in the world, if they don't have a busy vocal response from life, they think that they're not living. Hello, dear, I'm home. And no answer, because nobody's home. Oh, all right, I'll go turn on the TV. Put some noise in the house, you know. And, hey, kids, I'm home. And the kids aren't home. They're out playing someplace. And he's so unhappy that he doesn't have anybody to talk to or anybody to share with. We're like that. We're like that. You go into the office, and you're on your day off, or it's a Saturday, or the office might be closed. You go in the office, it's empty. And you go in there, first thing you do, you look around at all the desks, and you think of all the voices that are emanating from those desks every day, and how much busyness goes on. And then you go to your desk, and you get involved in your activities, which is what you usually do. And then you shut off the fact that there's nobody there. Mm-hmm. You're shutting off the fact that somebody's there or nobody's there. You're shutting it off. Well, all of our lives, we spend most of our time shutting off or turning on the world. And if you ever have the opportunity, take some stone that somebody gave you or that's precious to you or that you kept from childhood or what have you, and put that stone in your breast pocket, right next to your heart. You know, the pocket in your shirt is right next to your heart. If you have a shirt pocket, it's always next to your heart. If you have two pockets, then you got it next to each heart. But so put the stone there or the ring or whatever it is and forget it. And then as the day goes on, just sort of let your consciousness drift to your pocket and drift to that stone you put in there or that little ring you put in there or something, and just drift to it and then go away and drift to it. And you will find whatever the memories were that that stone had for you or that ring had for you will be what takes charge of your whole day. It'll take charge of your whole emotional atmosphere for the day. So make sure it's a good stone or a good ring. Or another thing you can do, and this is what I recommend most highly, you reach down and take a stone, and you say, stone, I'm going to fall in love with you. Just a little stone, maybe no bigger than a penny or a quarter, half dollar, silver dollar, or whatever, but just a little stone, flat or fat or whatever it may be, and just say, stone, I'm going to fall in love with you. I bless you with all my love and all everything that you've ever experienced in the past is now washed away and you got a new beginning with me. And we have a beginning of happiness and joy and peace and harmony between us, the two of us, just the two of us. And nobody's going to know that you're in my breast pocket here right against my heart. Nobody's going to know. But everyone is going to feel you and feel me because we are going to be unconditional love. We're just going to be unconditional love. And so anything that comes up in our life, you, Mr. Stone, or Mrs. Stone, whatever it may be, you, Stone, are going to remind me, unconditional love. And I'm going to remind you, unconditional love. And before you know it, we're going to have a teamwork, a network, an activity between us that's going to be totally unconditional love. And wherever we go, people are going to say, gee, aren't they, isn't he or she a nice person? They're so loving. They're so wonderful. I wonder what makes them love. And then you take out your stone from time to time. You look at it, you kiss it, you put it back in your pocket. And the stone says, I like that. And stones do say that, you know. And pretty soon, someone comes along in your life who has a very unhappy circumstance. Now, it's not your fault. It's not your business. But you are unconditional love. And they're struggling with this unhappy circumstance. Perhaps it's that their dog has run away. And they said, the dog ran away, and I don't know where he's gone. What am I going to do, you know? And you are brought into the picture somehow. And you say, oh, what happened? My dog ran away. What happened? If you say your dog ran away, then you're saying the dog doesn't want to be with you. But if you say, my dog, I can't find him. He's somewhere, but I don't know where he is. But you stop saying that. You don't say, I don't know where he is. And you start saying, I know where my dog is. I know right where he is. Now, I'm going to say, Mutsky, I love you. I love you, Mutsky. I love you. Walk beside me now. Walk with me. Mutsky, come on now. And Mutsky could be in somebody else's car. Mutsky could be in somebody else's house. Mutsky could be just about to be run over by a car or a truck. But Mutsky hears your love call. And from wherever Mutsky is, whatever circumstances Mutsky may be in, Mutsky comes to you without trouble, without any bother, because you are talking to Mutsky in the language that Mutsky understands. And Mutsky is by your side. I oftentimes chastise myself when I say, I holler to my dog, come here, sit, do this, do that. And then I say, oh, you are just so silly. You forgot your little unconditional loving stone in your pocket there. Now, use it. Okay, Rex, I love you. Do as you please. But I love it when you walk next to me. It's so nice when you're walking next to me. Rex, you're so wonderful. And then he's there. Now, there are some overwhelming things that might take him away. I think. And because I think there's an overwhelming thing that keeps him away, then he'll be kept away. Now, if I see him running after Anita in the pickup truck and saying, oh, Rex wants to get in that truck, Rex wants to follow that truck, Rex loves cars, loves trucks, you know. Rex loves cars and loves trucks. But Anita doesn't exist in my life. The pickup truck doesn't exist in my life. Nothing exists in my life except me and my dog. Mm-hmm. And so I say, Rex, walk with me. I'm not in contradiction to Rex chasing cars. I'm just saying, Rex, walk with me. Walk with me, lovingly. And where does Rex go? He walks with me. And sometimes I want to see where he's walking. I look this way or look that way, you know. And you can't do that. That's cheating. So I just say to myself, sorry, Rex, do whatever you want to do, but I love it when you walk with me. Do whatever you want to do, but I love it when you walk with me. Well, of course, naturally, he wants to walk with me. And then, within a moment or less, he's walking right with me. Or he's sitting on the path up in front of me, waiting for me. He say, what took you so long, Dad? What took you so long? You see, talking to a live thing, person, dog, or a stone is the same thing. Now, if I talk to the stone in my pocket, in my hand, or wherever, my ring and my finger, if I talk to that stone and I say, you're wonderful, I love you, then what does the stone say back to me? Audible words, words that I can actually hear. Mm-hmm. It says back to me, oh, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. We spoke to a couple the other night, and they were telling us about how he found a stone that he stood on, and it changed his whole life. It changed his whole life because he had a totally different attitude about himself and his world. And then the memory came back to me of all the people who come to campus here. And all of them want to go up into this cave we have up here, this big stone cave up in the middle of the mountain. And it's open on both ends, but it's a nice cave. And like Tony says, he said, are there any artifacts in there where the Indians had lived? Well, probably, because I doubt that anyone sweeps it out too far away from the cave when they go up there to stay overnight in it or something like that. But when they're standing, have you ever gone up to the cave? And have you ever stood inside the cave and looked out at the vista? The cave makes a wonderful picture frame for that wonderful vista that you look out at and see. It's just glorious, and you want to just stay there and stay there and stay there and look at it and enjoy it. Katerina used to love to go up there and sit and look at that vista and just imagine herself the queen of everything. And she was. It was just beautiful. Now, where do you think this man found this stone that he stood on? I think it's much like Stefan. When Stefan was working on his path in the School of the Master, he was working on his path. He had the roughest path of anybody here. It was in a ditch, and the trees were down there, and the roots were down there, and he tried to get it so that the path could work along, and nobody told him how to put the path there. It was his decision where he wanted it. And then, at one point on the path, he heard something saying, come up here. And he looked around, and there was nothing around. Nothing around anywhere. And he was just working away again. Come up here. And so after three or four times of hearing that, he says, well, I wonder what's up there that's calling me that I can actually understand. And so he climbed up on top of this rock, which is maybe three times his height. And he climbed up that rock. And it was very arduous to climb up that rock. But he got up there, and he saw nothing. But then he heard the voice again. Hi. And he looked down, and here, out of a little split in the rock, a little plant was growing. And the little plant was growing and said, hi. How you doing? And Stefan had a talk with that plant. And that made his whole attitude and consciousness realize, hey, there's more to me than just me. There's more to me. There's this whole world out here. And you too, but also, he did not pick the flower from that little crevasse because that's where it belonged. That's where it lived. And so often, we want to pick up a flower when we see it. And I think we should learn to do what dogs do. Dogs, first, what do they do?
Sniff.
They first sniff. Dogs first go with their nose. We should go with our noses and sniff the plant that we find growing out of the cut in the rock. We should sniff the world around us. How many times have you sat on a rock and put your nose up like this and sniff this way? Not trying to smell a hamburger or something like that, you know, but just smelling the air with all of its beauty and all of its goodness. Now, Anita this morning, she went down to the little place by the citadel, the lamps or the pond, the lamps. And the lamps have a little tiny pond too. And she went down there and she saw these beautiful big brown things down there. And she thought, what are that? And when she got near, she saw they were the long-eared rabbits. And so she stood there and watched them and just was enchanted by them and felt, are they not the most beautiful things you could ever imagine? Just lovely, just dancing around and jumping around and being so happy. And you see, this is what happens when you listen to the stone, when you listen to your heart, not that your heart's a stone, but when you listen to your heart and it tells you, hey, come on, join in the fun. So then Anita turns on the DVD and she listens to Caesar Malarin. Well, then, Moreno, whatever his name is, listens to Caesar. And Caesar has a little video of this dog that is being maligned by a cat. And this dog is laying there being very doggy, sleepy, friendly, and the cat comes in and tries to push him over. And then pretty soon, the dog says, "Hey, look, I'm a cool thing." And he rolls on his back, and the cat, with malicious eyes, leaps as high in the sky as she can and down onto the belly of the dog. And the dog says, "Okay, if that turns you on, I don't care. It doesn't bother me." And after a while, the cat ended up snuggling next to the dog because there was nothing to fear. She couldn't irritate the dog. She couldn't make the dog mad because the dog was just naturally a happy, unconditionally loving animal. Now, as we go through life and we find stones that we stub our toe on or something, do we get unhappy about them? Or are we like the dog, just roll over on our back and say, "Hey, cool. All I create in my world are good things." Oh, that was a hard jump on my belly. But okay, all I create are cool things. And you see, when we learn to let the stones talk to us, and let the animals talk to us, and let the breeze talk to us, and sniff it with our nose, which is quite good too. Not as good as a dog, but very good too. We'll find that there is so much in life to be happy with, to be grateful for, to be delighted in, to be thrilled in. And we cannot tell it to other people. Because when you were a little child and you found a stone and you picked it up, "Mommy, look what I found, Mommy, isn't that beautiful, isn't that wonderful?" And your mother thinks, "Yeah, beautiful, wonderful. Now go wash your hands, go clean up." Nobody ever, even our mommy and daddy who love us the most, can appreciate what we see in a stone. So all of our life, let's let the stones of our life talk to us. Let's let the inanimate and animate things in life talk to us and share with us how beautiful they are and how why they want to be with us, because we're so beautiful. And when you find that out, then you'll be like Stefan Stresley, who had this plant talking to him on the top of a rock by his special path. And he had the wisdom to go up and believe that it really was there. And then, lo and behold, there it was. And it left a message that touched his life forever. And if anyone ever tells you that something doesn't speak, ask Stefan. He'll tell you. Mm-hmm. He knows better. And ask yourself, the more often you let stones speak to you and plants speak to you and odors coming through the air speak to you, some odors you don't want to smell, some odors you do, you know, some fragrances you want to smell. But let everything in life be to you a treasure that you want to run home and say, "Mommy, look at my stone." And you don't care that your mommy doesn't like it. You don't care that your mommy says, "Go wash your hands, go wash the stone." You don't even hear that. All you hear is, "I found this treasure stone. I'm going to put it in my treasure box. It's going to be mine in my drawer, in my room, and I got lots of them in there." But you see, never stop having stones speak to you. Because one day, they may tell you the story of their life, and you'll be very happily surprised. Well, have a lovely day thinking about beautiful stones and everything that goes your way, and realize that that's the way to play. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.